Our first scripture lesson from Psalm 24 is read responsibly. Join me as we share in the reading of scripture together. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the earth.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek him.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
This is God's word for us this morning.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we mentioned earlier, today is World Communion Sunday, the day when Christians all around the world gather around the Lord's table to celebrate our oneness in Jesus Christ and to renew our commitment to be peacemakers in our lives and in our world. It's also the day we receive the Peace and Global Witness Offering, which goes towards international, national, and local projects and initiatives aimed at building lasting peace and reconciliation in the midst of any place where there's violence or oppression. Now, we Presbyterians have been celebrating World Communion Sunday since 1936. But the first World Communion Sunday happened at the Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh in 1933, under the direction of their pastor, the Reverend Hugh Thompson Kerr, who was a former moderator of our General Assembly and a beloved pastor and author and a pioneer in bringing churches and communities together. Now, 1933 was a bleak year. As pastor and historian John Dallas writes, 1933 was the darkest year of the Great Depression. The storm clouds of Nazism and fascism hovered all over Europe and threatened the entire world. The prevailing mood was anxiety, fear about economics, fear about politics, and fear about the future. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Dallas continues, as a faith response to these fears, a group of leaders at Shadyside Presbyterian Church sought to do something both real and symbolic, to proclaim that God is God indeed, in spite of politics, economics, and future shock. How, they wondered, might one church counteract the pessimism of the larger society? How might they succeed in eliminating the walls of separation between Christians? Now, interestingly, it was the stewardship committee that came up with the idea for World Communion Sunday, a worship service that would unite people from different Christian denominations in the city for the purpose of both information and inspiration to remind everyone that we are all one in the body of Christ. The idea was kind of slow to catch on. The National Presbyterian Church adopted it in 1936. But as Reverend Kerr's son Donald remembers, the concept spread very slowly. People didn't really get it or give it a whole lot of thought. But it was during the Second World War that the spirit really caught hold, because we were trying to hold the world together. Worldwide communion symbolized the effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what really caught my eye and ear this week. World Communion Sunday grew out of a desire to hold the world together in the face of forces that were trying to pull it apart. It symbolized this effort to hold it together. And I understand that feeling, that desire to do something to help hold the world together. I mean, look around the world today. Yet again, we are trying to pull ourselves together after another mass shooting in our country. We are trying to hold things together in a deeply polarized country that is split in so many directions, liberal, conservative, rich, poor, along racial and religious lines, that it's hard to figure out how to bridge the walls that divide us. We are trying to hold things together in a world where different countries and cultures don't really understand each other and do things that perplex us or scare us. We are trying to hold things together for a planet that is warming and melting, erupting and shaking, shifting and changing at a frightening pace, mostly due to humanity's irresponsible exploitation of the earth and its resources. All of this, while many of us are just barely holding our own lives together, with busy schedules, financial pressures, job stresses, family problems, in the face of such overwhelming challenges and problems, our efforts to hold it together, to keep it together, often seem woefully inadequate. Well, thank God, today is World Communion Sunday. Because World Communion Sunday points us to our hope, to the good news that is at the core of our lives as Christians, that we are all one in Jesus Christ, that we are all one in Jesus Christ. We hear this good news in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things in heaven and on earth were created. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. World Communion Sunday encourages us to look all around the world and then to join with our brothers and sisters in faith in every time and place, and to look at the one who holds us all together. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we catch a glimpse of the invisible God, the one who created it all, who holds it all together, who delights in reconciliation and peacemaking, the one who heals our divisions, saves us from our sinfulness, offers us new and abundant life for everyone. Jesus Christ is the one who connects us to this God and to one another, and so all things hold together in him. In connecting us with God and one another, World Communion Sunday also reminds us of our theme for this fall. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In our self-centered culture, from our limited perspective, we often think that the earth and everything in it belongs to us for our personal use and survival, for our personal gain and enjoyment. We revel in our ownership of all kinds of things, our homes, our cars, the latest technology, all of our stuff. And too often we ignore or forget this basic tenet of our faith, that really none of it belongs to us. It belongs to God, who created it all and entrusted it all to us, for our own benefit, certainly, but also for the benefit of all life on earth. So what does it mean to live our lives in light of this truth? If we say and believe that the whole world and everything in it belongs to God, how does that change the decisions we make, the actions we take, the ways we live day by day? What does it mean for us to say that our bodies, or our schedules, or our lives belong to God? What does it mean to say that our money and our possessions belong to God, or our church and its mission? These are the questions that we will be considering over the next 4 weeks. One of the ways that we are going to engage this theme is to change the way we do our offering. Our stewardship commission was inspired by the example set by the Church of the Pilgrims in Washington, D.C., which wanted to expand their congregation's understanding of stewardship. As they noted, most people think the offering is about money, which it is, but it's also about a lot more. The offering is about all of our lives. Our time, talent, and resources, our bodies, minds, and spirits, our thoughts, decisions, and actions, all of which ultimately belong to God. So everyone here should have received a leaf. Each week you will get one of these leaves. So bring something to write every week. And you will be invited to think beyond the financial, to what else you might be able to offer God in this coming week. You could pledge to pray every day, maybe even use that Earth Gospel book as a spiritual discipline for yourself. You could pledge to take care of yourself or your family or your neighbors in a concrete way. You could pledge to serve at the food pantry or attend a Bible study or help someone in need or take better care of the earth by using your own shopping bags or composting or recycling. You could pledge to talk less and listen more, or to be a bridge builder or a peacemaker at work or at school or at home. The possibilities for what you can offer to God are endless. What can you give? What could you do that would witness to the truth that all that we are and all that we have are a gift from God, and that God calls us to be faithful stewards of these gifts? Each week, you will be invited to write something down on your leaf, and we will collect them in the offering plates along with your offerings. And during the week, we're going to put them up on this tree. So as the leaves fall down on the trees outside, our giving tree will grow through your generosity. And I hope you all notice the cross that is at the center of the tree. Just like World Communion Sunday, our offerings and our stewardship should point us to Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn of all creation and the one in whom all things, the whole world, and even us, hold together. Amen.